Today on Impact for Living, founder, sports and business leader, and pastor Scott Whitaker will challenge you to reach your God-given potential and impact, which you were created to have with and for Jesus Christ in the world. Now, here's Scott with today's message.
This morning, I want to read from two passages of Scripture, one from the Old Testament, the book of Isaiah, and then one other, Gospel of John in the New Testament. First, out of Isaiah, and this is the prophet Isaiah, chapter 9, verse 2, out of the Living Bible. And he says this, "The people who walk in darkness shall see a great light," capital L. "A light," again, capital L, "that will shine on all those who live in the land of the shadow of death." And then out of the Gospel of John, chapter 12, beginning at verse 35, Jesus replied, "My light will shine out for you just a little while longer. Walk in it while you can, and go where you want to go before the darkness falls, for then it will be too late for you to find your way. Make use of the light," and he refers to himself there with a capital L on light. "Make use of the light while there is still time. Then you will become light bearers." After saying these things, Jesus went away and was hidden from them. But despite all the miracles that Jesus had done, most of the people would not believe he was the Messiah. Well, I hope that you all had a great Thanksgiving with your family, other loved ones, friends, embracing the spirit of the season and pausing for just a moment to reflect on and give thanks for all the beauty, all the blessings, all the sacred people and sacred moments that God has placed in your life and our lives. In one passage that we read a minute ago, Isaiah is pointing the people to the coming of the Messiah, telling them that they will see a great light, capital L, he uses. He, of course, was pointing them to the most majestic moment in history, the birth of the Savior, the Messiah, a tiny baby, God's Son. Yet we see in the passage that we read in the Gospel of John later, when Christ had come, that when Jesus did come to earth in a manger, then grew and began his ministry, performing miracles, healing the sick, pointing folks to God, calming storms, and so much more. The people still didn't notice or believe that he was the Messiah. They missed the majesty of the moment. He was right there, the great light that Isaiah had prophesied, and they still didn't believe. I read a true story a few years ago of a young musician who was asked to be part of an experiment put on during rush hour in the always busy metro station in Washington, D.C. And so on Friday morning, January 12, 2007, at 7:51 a.m., world-renowned violin virtuoso Joshua Bell, at age 39 then, set up a position within that busy D.C. metro train station, subway station, opened his violin case on the floor in front of him, suggesting donations were welcome, and began to play his violin right in the midst of the morning rush hour. He was wearing a plain long-sleeved shirt, blue jeans, and a Washington Nationals baseball cap, a fairly common look designed to not get much attention on its own. And for the next 45 minutes, he played six classical pieces, including one from Johann Sebastian Bach. During that period, the count total of people that went by was nearly 1,100 people passing by that spot. A few dropped money into the open violin case as they hurried by, and at the end of his session, he had gathered about $32. Of those 1,100 people who passed by that spot that morning, only seven stopped long enough to listen to any part of any piece of the music which he played during that time. Yet, just 3 days earlier, that young violinist Joshua Bell had filled to overflowing Boston Symphony Hall, where tickets for his concert sold beginning at $100 a seat. And in 2 weeks, he would perform at a concert in Eastern Maryland, again commanding a substantial fee for his musical talents. Yet that morning, in the metro station in Washington, D.C., almost everyone just walked on by. No one seemed to care. No one seemed to notice. As a matter of fact, as I watched the video of that scene again, people seemed completely oblivious to what was happening as they walked by. What was it that caused so many to pass by and miss the majesty of the moment right there before them? What was on their minds that caused them to pass by without even so much as a nod? We've just celebrated Thanksgiving. Did we pause long enough to fully experience it, embrace it, appreciate it? Now we're heading toward the most majestic of times, the celebration of the birth of Jesus Christ. Will we see it or will we miss it? What is it in our lives that keeps us from seeing the majestic things that God puts right in front of us? Could it be some of the same things that caused those that morning to pass by Joshua Bell? A focus perhaps on other things, on problems, on difficulties. We all have them, I get it. Uncertainties that kept them maybe from missing the moment. Could it have been the blinders of misguided priorities that the world tends to try to fit us with and to tell us the things that are really important, all the stuff and achievements and awards? Could any of that have been the reason they missed the majesty of that moment? It may be that every one of them that morning were just simply too busy, trying to get to work on time, needing to make a living to support themselves and their families. You know, or maybe classical music, no matter how majestic and beautiful, wasn't their thing. We could guess at a lot of things, but no matter the reason, they still missed that majestic moment. But here's another thought. Maybe they just never expected anything majestic to happen during their day or in the world around them. They went through life never looking, never noticing the world around them. You wonder if any of those rushing through that station on that workday morning even expected to find anything majestic in that journey of their lives that day, as they sprinted by that most beautiful moment set there for their enjoyment. They were just going through the same motions of every day, the same thing they did yesterday, they're doing today, they'll do tomorrow, and the next day, and the next, perhaps. By the way, the violin that he was playing was a Stradivarius worth about $3.5 million. The music was by the great Johann Sebastian Bach and other great composers, and the performer was one of the world's best, Joshua Bell. Any one of those were good enough reasons to stop and enjoy the moment, but few did. Seven. Certainly, that wouldn't have been us, would it? Here we are, rounding out of Thanksgiving and heading toward Christmas, where we will celebrate the birth of that tiny baby, the ultimate in majestic moments. But will we even notice? Will our behavior show that we believe what Isaiah was pointing toward those many years before, the great light, the baby, the Messiah? And so, on that morning in D.C., the people who passed by in that metro station didn't see or hear the beauty that was right there before them. They didn't see the needs of others, symbolized by the empty violin case asking for donations to help. And they didn't stop long enough to hear the blessing of the music and the musician in their midst. In the busyness of life, they had missed the blessing right before them. So sad. Really, really is sad. Certainly, we wouldn't have missed it, right? But they weren't alone in that, and we aren't. We saw in the scripture as we began that even those with Jesus way back then didn't believe or expect to see majestic moments, and they were with Christ physically and witnessed his miracles day after day after day right before their very eyes, and yet still didn't believe. The majesty, my friends, of God is all around us. It's in the lives near us who might need a hand up in life, or those near us who lift us up in life, a sick loved one who gets well. God's majesty is in our families and friends who look up to us and count on us. It's in the opportunities before us to make an eternal difference in the world and the lives around us. It's even in the whirlwinds of each of our days, if we'll only stop long enough to hear the music and see the majesty of the moments. Do we get up each morning and approach each day with the expectation that we will be confronted with the majesty of God? Or do we go through the day with our heads down, with little expectancy of Him ever appearing before us or doing anything in the world around us? You know, don't you, that God is still in the miracle business. Just look at the brand new tiny baby. He's still in the miracle business. But do we believe it? Do we look for it? Do we look for Him performing miracles, or is it just something that we read in His word and don't expect it today? I venture to say that if you're anything like me, you may have missed a few moments of God's majesty in the past few days and weeks. You know, I remember a moment years ago when Hannah, our elder granddaughter, back when she was about 5 or 6, and I were outside together, I don't even remember what we're doing, but all of a sudden Hannah said, "Look, Gran, a butterfly." I never saw it. I had not seen it until that moment. And together, after that, we just simply sat there and watched it float and flit on the breeze. Something beautiful, God's creation. And I had almost missed it. You want to see majesty as only God can create it? You could climb Mount Everest and view His creation as far as the eye can see. You can view the images of the Earth sent back from space station or orbiting satellites. You can look through the Hubble telescope and see the stars, the galaxies, stretching out to the ends of your imagination, the majesty of God. And you and I can visit the Babe of Bethlehem in a few weeks in the manger. Or why not even today, to experience anew God's most majestic moment of all for you and for me, the birth of His Son, for our salvation and for eternal life with Him. Why not begin today expecting to see the majestic moments God places in each day that unfolds before us? Maybe even pausing in a busy metro station or other busy moments in our lives. Maybe noticing the peace that He brings in a storm that we're going through, or in a gathering of family and its love for each other, or in the sunrise of a new day and the opportunities to join Him in all He's doing to touch and help the world around us. And then to see again the majesty of God in the birth of His Son in a manger in Bethlehem for you and for me. My friends, in the busyness of our lives, especially in the weeks and commercialization and distractions that are before us as we head toward the manger, why not stop, look around, enjoy the music, and embrace the moments of God's majesty that He places everywhere around us, for us. Let me pray for us. Father, thank You for this moment. Thank You for this time just to pause during this time as we head to the manger again to celebrate once again the birth of a tiny baby, Your Son, in the manger. Thank You, Lord, for that gift. Thank You for all the reminders that we have in our lives that You place there of those majestic moments, those miracles, those things You do that we too often pass by. Help us to walk through this day and every day thereafter with eyes wide open, hanging on to You as You point us to all that You're doing and all that's around us, so that we might just experience all that You want us to experience in life, but even more, to Help us notice those empty cases, those open cases, those lives around us that need a lift up, and help us to do that with you, to make a difference in the world around us. Thanks for loving us. Thanks for your Son. And it's in His precious, precious name we pray. Amen and amen.
We hope that Scott's message today has challenged and encouraged you. Thank you for being with us, and be sure to join Scott and Impact for Living next week for another faith-filled message focused on God's plan and purpose for your life.